Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 3 this morning. We are at the six-week mark in our series through the book of Acts titled The Force Awakens. Now, if you were here in like week two or three, I can't remember, I told you how after the first week our children's pastor was in here and she's like, you need more props and things to put up, you know, like down in her class, she's always got, when they're going through a theme, you know, she puts up all these cool things and she's like, I'm just going to start bringing stuff. And so when I showed up this morning on my podium thing here, I got this Star Wars activity set, you know, and it comes with these magnets. I don't know if I can open this up here. It comes with these magnets that you can like put up. And so I don't know, maybe she was thinking that I could like put them on my metal podium here to kind of be like, man, packages nowadays is starting to drive me crazy. All right. So we've got some props here that we'll see if they stick to, are they magnetic? Maybe, sort of. Yeah, look at that, man. So here we've got some props that I'm putting up here to kind of help you guys get into the feel of our Force Awakens series here. Man, don't you just feel it? It's like, you feel like you're down in kids' ministries right now. Now, I don't know how you hear the Darth Vader going off there. I don't know how like spiritual this is of having Darth Vader and Boba Fett and stuff here at church, but oh well. So there we go. That's thanks to our children's pastor helping us with our series here to kind of feel like things are flowing, right? So anyways, but I love that. And getting back into helping with youth ministry now and being a part of that, it's the reminder of all these things with the kids of bringing that. So anyways, so there's my little youth flashbacks here for you guys this morning. So anyways, if you were here last week, we finally wrapped up chapter 2. And so today we're diving into chapter 3, and one of my favorite stories that I remember from a little boy, and mainly it came out of a song and that we sang. You know, it's funny how many times do my memories, they come out of these songs, but it's that song, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of... here's the thing, it's of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But when I was a little kid, I also loved the story of Lazarus, right? The power of Jesus raising from the dead. And I always thought it was in the name of Jesus Christ, of Lazarus is what I used to sing. Of Lazarus, rise up and walk. Because I was thinking it was of that same power that he raised Lazarus anyways. But that story of Peter and John and that. So we're going to get into that today. But if you haven't been with us, as we've walked so far through this series, we've read that Jesus had ascended back into heaven right after he rose. He ascended back into heaven. And when he did that, he left the disciples with one important task. And that was to go and to wait for the gift that God was going to give them. And we know that that gift was the Holy Spirit. And so then when we got into Acts 2, we saw them receive this gift as God's Spirit was poured out upon them. And we see then that the Christian church begin to grow. And so last week we've seen that God is moving. You know, God is doing great things. And this is kind of where we now pick up here in Acts chapter 3. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me this morning. We're going to read just the first part of Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. This is what it says. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have. But what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I love this story. It's such an amazing glimpse of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the thing we have to remember is that these stories that we read here in Acts are only a few of the miraculous signs and wonders that were happening at this time in the early church. At the end of Acts chapter 2, verse 43, which we read last week, it just said, "Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles." So Luke, the writer here of the book of Acts, he points out that many miracles, many, many miracles and amazing things were happening all throughout the life of the early church. There were so many things happening that the question is, you know, how do you decide which of these miracles to document? Why did he choose to highlight this specific miracle here in Acts chapter 3? Now, obviously, to Luke, this miracle seemed significant enough to not just get grouped with many of the other miracles that had happened. And here's the thing, not that those miracles weren't significant, because I'm sure they were pretty significant to the people that they happened to, right? But why would he choose to point out this particular miracle over some of the other miracles that happened? Now, in studying this past week, I believe this. I believe that there are actually two reasons why Luke highlighted this message. The first is that I just think that this miracle was highlighted because it led to Peter's second sermon. We talked about his first sermon a few weeks ago. A sermon that Luke probably felt was important for the believers to hear. And so this miracle went along with this sermon. But the second reason I think that he highlighted this miracle is that this miracle and the sermon that Peter preaches is what leads to the early persecution of the church. It was this miracle that increased this tension that was going on between the new Christian church and the Jewish religious leaders. This tension is what brought about the arrest that we're going to see in the weeks to come of Peter and John, and eventually, as we're going to see later, the death of Stephen, who we know is the very first Christian martyr that we find out later in Acts. And so I think it was important for Luke to highlight this miracle here in the book of Acts. And this miracle once again shows us God's healing power on the human life. And it shows us the impact that we can have on others when we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, when we're living the life that He's called us to live. This scripture shares with us the story of a man who's been crippled his entire life. Later on in Acts, it tells us. And in an instant, he experiences God's healing power. Now in this text, this man, he was healed physically. This physical healing took place. But the message of this scripture, I really believe, goes way beyond physical healing. This passage, I believe, is really about experiencing healing on every level, whether that's physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And I believe God's desire is to bring healing to our lives so that we can help bring healing to others around us, that we might be a witness to others because of what God has done in our lives. What we see in this story is the reality of what I even talked about earlier, the reality of a fallen world. This man here, he was crippled from birth. Think about that. He had never been able in his life to stand, to walk, to run and to play like the other kids did when he was growing up, right? He was never able to do these things, and because of this, you wonder how many opportunities he missed out on, or even how many opportunities he was denied. The reality is, in these times, many people believed that people born with these kinds of disabilities were that way because of the sins of their parents or because of sins in their family. If you even remember, the disciples asked Jesus, why is this man this way? Is it because of the sins of him or the sins of his family, right? So they believed these things. And so because of that, they were often looked down upon. They were considered at times to be less than. So who knows the struggles and challenges that this man faced throughout his life. And even now, as a grown man, we see here that he was dependent upon others to carry him to the temple. He needed others just to get him there so he could just beg for a living, so that he could survive. Now, we can only speculate what effects these challenges must have had on his heart. But he could have easily been bitter. He could have easily been angry for this life and what he was dealt. And maybe even it was towards God. God, how could you do this? How could you give me this life? Who knows what he was feeling? But I believe the healing of this man is more than just physical. The healing of this man, I think, is both literal and symbolic. It's literal in the fact that for over 40 years, this man had suffered from an ailment that made him crippled. He was born that way. He didn't know anything different. And here in this moment, he was literally healed from his physical ailment. He could stand. He could walk. He could jump. There was that literal physical healing that take place. But I think that this healing is also symbolic, because this man's life is a great analogy of our lives as fallen, broken human beings that live in a fallen world. His life reminds us that life isn't perfect. His life reminds us that there is brokenness and hurt and pain all around us. Sometimes we see that, it's evident in the physical, but oftentimes there are things that go unseen by human eyes. Because for every person we see in this world with physical struggles and ailments, there are thousands and thousands who are crippled emotionally, but they keep it hidden, right? And probably millions, if not billions, who are crippled spiritually in this world, who have never experienced the love of Jesus in their lives. The symbolic message of this story, of this man, is that there are people all around us that are crippled, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. People who need a touch from God. And the sad thing is that reality may not be as evident as it was for this man, because we live in a world where we like to act. People like to act like everything's all right. People like to act like they've got it all together. But we live in a world where people are crippled on the inside, and they need to experience God's healing touch in their lives just as much as this man did that was begging at the gate. And the only way that they're going to experience it is through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But the question is, how are people out there in the world going to experience that outpouring? And here's the thing, it's the important part, it's through the church. And when I say church, I'm not talking about, you know, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, there's all the people. Or, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors. Oh, what church is that? Nobody's showing up, right? All right, it depends on what church you're at, I guess, whether there's people there or not. But that's not the kind of church I'm talking about. people out there aren't going to come in the walls of that kind of church, right? They're not going to come in those walls. That's why a lot of times you open it up and it's empty. Because people aren't going to come in those walls. I'm not talking about a building when I talk about church. I'm talking about us. We, us, the people, the individuals, we are the church. You see, this miracle did not happen inside the walls of the church. This miracle happened outside the church because of a disciple of Jesus, one of the church. They allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in and through them to reach people in their world. It's the scripture I shared with you a few weeks ago. 1 Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? This man wasn't a part of the early church movement. I mean, he's sitting out on the outskirts. He wasn't a part of what was going on. He was oblivious to the good news of Jesus. He was just doing whatever he could to survive in this fallen, broken world. He had no idea the opportunity that was out there in front of him. And that's the same for many other people in our world. And that's why we're called to go and to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. The early church was on the move. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were being His witnesses. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives were being changed through the early church. Again, this miracle is just one representation of the many lives that were being impacted by the early church and by the power of the Holy Spirit. But through this story, this specific story that Luke decided to highlight, I want to take some time this morning to share with you three things that I think we see happening in the lives of people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Three things that through the move of the church, through the Holy Spirit's power, begin to happen. And the first is this. We see this heart of expectancy. This heart of expectancy. In verses 4 and 5 it says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Now he had no idea what he was going to get from Peter. But he was expecting something, right? And for the disciples, this heart of expectancy started when they were told by Jesus to go and wait for the gift that God had for them. They had experienced the power of the Spirit through Jesus. And there was this expectancy as they went waiting, not knowing exactly what it was, but waiting with great expectation for what God was going to give them. And I really believe that this word expectancy goes hand in hand with faith. Expectantly waiting and trusting in the Lord, having faith that God is going to show up, that God is real, that He cares about us, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, I point out this man turning to Peter with expectancy, but do you know who had the greatest heart of expectancy in this story? It wasn't this man. It was Peter. He didn't say, "Silver and gold I don't have, sorry, you know, I'm broke, I'm in the ministry," you know. He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Well, but maybe God can heal you. Why don't you try to stand up here? Let's see if we can do something," right? I mean, that's not how Peter did it. No, he said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he had this heart of expectancy that believed God could do anything. Do we believe? We sang that this morning, right? Do we believe that God can do anything? Again, it's like I said this morning, we can say things with our mouth. But what about our heart? Do we believe that God can do anything? Do we expect Him to do the miraculous in our lives, in the lives of those around us? As we grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe our hearts will grow with this sense of expectancy. As we stir up the Spirit. You know, it's that illustration again a few weeks ago. The chocolate milk, you know, the chocolate going to the bottom. That's the Holy Spirit for a lot of us. Comes in when we invite Jesus into our life, but we don't do anything with the power of the Holy Spirit. It just sits there like a lump of chocolate at the bottom of the milk. And we got to stir it up. We got to stir up His Spirit. We got to seek Him. We got to pray. We got to allow Him to stir these things up in our life. Are we growing in the power of the Holy Spirit? Knowing that we serve a God who created all the world. And knowing that He has filled us with the power of the Holy Spirit to be His light. Peter and the followers of Jesus, they had this heart of expectancy. They believed that God could do anything. Do we believe that God can do anything? The next thing we see happening in the lives of the people through the power of the Holy Spirit is this. We see the healing power of Jesus. The part of the story that stands out more than anything is that this man who had been crippled for over 40 years, he was healed. Think about that. 40 years never being able to walk. And all of a sudden, you're healed. It says in verse 7 that instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And this man stood up for the first time and began walking and jumping, right? He was miraculously healed. All throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus healing people. We see Jesus doing the miraculous. The disciples had seen that. They had experienced that. And now the disciples themselves and the apostles of the early church are seeing healing take place through them in the name of Jesus. Now, they weren't doing the healing. It was the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. They were seeing healing take place. You see, it's important for us to remember that when we think of Jesus and what He did on this earth and the miracles that He performed, it's important that we remember that Jesus was fully God, but He was also fully man. And there were some limitations, which means for Him to heal people and to do the miracles that He did, He needed the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself used the power of the Holy Spirit, and that same Spirit that enabled Him to do the things that He had done had now been poured out upon the disciples, had been poured out upon those who believed in Him. And they now had the power to do the same things that Jesus was doing. Can you believe it? As a matter of fact, listen to what Jesus tells His disciples in John 14. Now, I guarantee you, at this time, they had no idea what Jesus was talking about. They had no idea what this would look like in the future. But He said this in John 14:12. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing. And then listen to this next line. And they will do even greater things than these. Oh. What's more powerful than healing people, than raising from the dead? You will do greater things than these. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we too can see the healing power of Jesus take place in and through our lives. He wasn't just talking to the disciples here either in this scripture, right? He says, whoever believes. Man, it's amazing how that song went with today, right? Our song today. And we didn't even plan that. I mean, God planned it. We didn't plan it, right? Whoever believes, which includes us, right? If we're believers, then we too can experience the healing power of Jesus in our lives, in and through our lives. And as we talked about earlier, this goes beyond just physical healing. The reality is we live in a fallen world, and because of that, we experience physical ailments and challenges. And don't get me wrong here, because like the man in this story, I believe God can heal physically. Today even, okay? This isn't just miracles of the past. God heals today. I've seen it. Some of you have heard me share my story of me and my dad. I was a little six-year-old, and my dad comes home from basketball at the church, and he had broke his leg. He's got a big old cast. You know, this is 1978, you know, and he's got a big old plaster cast. And I said, "Daddy, you don't need that cast. Jesus can heal you." Little six-year-old, I believed that God could heal. And so what did my dad do? We tried to cut the cast off that night. Couldn't get it, you know, then plaster cast, man, was just making a mess. And my dad was worried he was going to slice his leg open. Yeah, God healed me, but I just sliced my whole leg open, right? So he waited, and he had a doctor's appointment a couple days. He went to the doctor, said, "Cut my cast off. God's healed me." And I know I don't know for sure. I'm sure the doctor just thought he was crazy. Cuts my dad's cast off. My dad walks out completely healed. I know that God can heal physically, right? And we continue to pray for physical healings, but I think more important to the Lord is our spiritual and emotional healing. And there are people all around us that need this kind of healing in their lives. They need to be healed spiritually. They need to hear the good news of Jesus so that they can experience His healing touch upon their lives. And when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we become that hope of glory to those around us. We become His witnesses that bring the healing power of Jesus to the world. That's what Peter and the apostles were doing. That's what they're doing here. We see this heart of expectancy. We see the healing power of Jesus in and through their lives. And then thirdly, in this story, we see this amazing joy. In verse 8, it says, "He was walking and jumping and praising God." This man who had never walked in his life stood up and began to walk and began to jump, and he didn't stop jumping. You know, when you read the scriptures, he just continued to jump, it looks like. Can you imagine the joy that he must have felt to finally be able, after all these years, to stand, to walk, to jump, to do the things that he's seen so many other people do that he always wanted to do himself. What a transformation this miracle had on this man's life. Not only was he healed physically, his heart was filled with joy. And it's all because somebody cared enough to reach out to him in the name of Jesus, to meet this man where he was at, to be a witness of the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, we can only speculate what this man's life was like before this moment. But considering the fact that he had to spend his life relying on others to get him around, considering the fact that he needed to beg just to be able to eat and to survive, I'm guessing that life in general for this man was a struggle. I'm guessing that also many people rejected him, especially out there on the streets. You think about that. How many people out on the streets are begging or get rejected? I'm guessing he probably experienced loneliness, probably experienced self-pity. But this amazing act of love has now filled this man with joy. This simple act meant that somebody actually cared about him. It proved that God loved him and hadn't forgotten about him. It's amazing the joy and love. Or it's amazing the joy that love, can bring to our lives. To know that we're loved. How many people, we just want to know that we're loved, to know that somebody out there cares for us. As believers, that's what we're called to do. We're called to love people. And when we love people in the way that Jesus loved them, it enables them to experience things that they've never experienced in their lives before. It brings hope. It brings healing in the midst of difficulty. It brings this supernatural joy that can only be experienced through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter's love and compassion for this man filled his heart with joy. Are we walking in that kind of joy? Are we allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to be stirred up in us in a way that it brings healing to our lives? It fills our lives with the joy of the Lord. Are we allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to allow us to feel that joy regardless of the circumstances around us? Because as I've said, we live in a fallen, broken world. You see, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can see with this heart of expectancy. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can experience the healing power of Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can experience this amazing joy in our lives. And as we begin to see these things in our life, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to then be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. Verses 9 and 10 said this: "When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." You see, when our lives are transformed by the amazing power of the Holy Spirit, it becomes evident to those around us, right? People begin to notice the change. Man, what happened to them? Man, they used to be this jerk, but they're actually kind of nice now. They used to always be angry, but now they walk around with a smile on their face. It becomes evident to those around us, and then we become His witnesses. Are we looking to Him with expectancy and allowing the healing power of Jesus to transform our lives and those around us, to fill us with His joy that we may become His witnesses to the ends of the earth? That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is all about. It all goes back to Acts 1:8. Let me read it for you. I think we have it on the screen. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I want to read it to you again, but in the DRV version. That's the Darren's Revised Version. It says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Dallas and in all of Polk County and to the ends of the earth." The Scripture wasn't just for the disciples. The Scripture right here, it's for us today. We're called to go and to be His witnesses, to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through us, to shine in us, that we may draw the people of our community to Him, that we may extend His kingdom. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm not about seeking the goosebumps, but I'm feeling them right now, Lord. Because I know that You are a God that can do the miraculous. You are a God that wants to change people's lives, that wants to bring healing, Lord. This man for 40 years was crippled. 40 years. And You brought healing to his life. Lord, many of us have been crippled in longer than that in many ways, spiritually, emotionally. And You desire to bring healing to our lives, Lord. healing, to make us whole, Lord, to transform us into the men and women of God that You called us to be. You want to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. I get excited, Lord, when I look at the early church in Acts and I see this expectancy that they had. I see this excitement that they had for You to share the gospel, to be Your witnesses to the ends of the earth. And through that excitement, we see that power that brings healing, that power that brings joy into their lives, Lord. And Lord, I desire that for us here. Lord, You put Dallas Foursquare Church in this place for a reason. And Lord, You want to work in and through this place. And we know that there are other great churches in this community, and we want to lift them up as well. But most importantly, we want to be who You've called us to be. And we want to be faithful to carry out the mission that You've called us to carry out, to love You, to love people, and to see Your kingdom extended, Lord. And so, Lord, we are thankful for what You're doing in the lives of people in this church, Lord. The stories of the power of Your Spirit, how lives have been touched and how lives are different. Lord, I can look out in this room and I can name numerous people who I know other people have looked at and said, man, what's happened to them? Their life is different. Something's changed in them. And Lord, we know that what's changed is You. It's You in their life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit at work. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. But it means that You're continuing to work in us and through us and enabling us to become who You've called us to be, to live the lives You've called us to live. That's what walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is all about. And Lord, we want to be people who do that, Lord, who are constantly stirring up the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we're seeking to see You move in and through us, Lord. That we can, like Peter and John, see healing come to those around us. And Lord, with that, sometimes it means opening our eyes. How many people walked past that guy every single day? And Peter and John, they looked to him and they brought life to him. Lord, we want to see those people in our lives that You put in front of us, Lord. We want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit where we don't miss those opportunities, Lord, but we sense through Your power the people that You've called us to reach out to love and to care for, Lord, so that we can see people experience the healing power of Jesus in their lives. That's what this is about, Lord. You came to seek and save the lost, Lord. You came to bring healing to everyone. And so we pray that You help us to do that. I just want to do this. This is just keep your heads bowed, and this is it's just more of you and your own heart saying this. But if you just this morning are saying, man, I want a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life, it's just lifting up your hand, and we're just going to pray for that. I'm lifting up my hand as well, and Lord, we just pray right now as hands are lifted up right now to You, Lord, we want to be like the early church, Lord. We want to be people of expectancy. We want to be people who see the healing power of Jesus operate in and through our lives. We want to operate in that joy, Lord. That joy that gives us strength in You, Lord. And so, Lord, with those hands raised, we just pray right now, You pour out Your Spirit, Lord, upon us. Stir up Your Spirit in us. Challenge us, Lord, to begin to live the lives that You've called us to live. To live our lives with eyes open, Lord, not with our eyes, but with Your eyes, open to see the things of this world, Lord, open to see the people that we're missing every day, that You have called us to make a difference in their lives, Lord. Pour out Your Spirit upon us right now. We just pray that in Jesus' name, Lord. We just thank You for those hands that were lifted, Lord. May we begin today just to walk in that boldness. Lord, to walk in that power, and again, that power, it's not freaky, it's not weird, it's just living the lives You've called us to live. It does mean sometimes stepping out in faith. It does mean sometimes saying, Lord, really? You want me to talk to that person? Okay, I'm going to do it. It means stepping out sometimes and trusting and being willing to look foolish at times. But Lord, I know that as we're faithful to do that, You lead us because You're doing things in those lives. And so, Lord, we just pray that You help us to walk in Your power We thank you for what you're doing in this church. We thank you for this series as you're taking us through the book of Acts, Lord. We want to be like the early church, Lord. We want to be on fire for you. We want to do and be the things you've called us to do, Lord. And so we just give all these things to you this morning. We lift them up to you and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.